We present the News Quiz with your host, Sandy Toksvig.
Hello and welcome to the News Quiz. We start with a cutting from the Mail on Sunday, read by Charlotte Green.
If you're being chased by a dog when jogging or cycling, stop, turn toward the dog and firmly say no or go home. This is effective even for dogs that don't speak English.
Thanks to Anna Reid for sending that in. Let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first, on my right, Jeremy Hardy and Rebecca Front. And opposite them on my left, Andy Hamilton and Susan Kalman. Jeremy, whose week is turning out to be particularly taxing?
Osborne. Osborne is in such a state now. Where's the expression of a man who soiled his trousers and hasn't yet decided whether that's a good or bad thing? Osborne has scrapped the caravan tax, the charity tax, and the pasty tax because it's a listening government and we should be glad that they don't think about their policies. They just kind of say them out loud and then wait for our reaction and then get rid of them again.
I did like the sheer level of outrage about the pasty tax. I thought that was quite remarkable. I mean, in this country, you can dismantle the postal service, you can wreck the economy, but by God, don't come between a nation and its baked goods.
The problem with the pasty tax is that they haven't got rid of it altogether, though. I mean, there's still a battle to be won, people. Let's not sit back. because they still apply VAT, as I understand it, to pasties above ambient temperature.
Yes.
Now, that's tough. In Scotland, the ambient temperature in August, it's about 2 degrees. That means almost everything is above ambient temperature. So the tax is still an issue. I mean, my concern is about the pasty tax, is that they're taxing things that are warm. And it concerns me that eventually they'll start taxing other things that are warm, like sunshine. Or hugs, or kittens.
Well, that's been worrying me, actually, because I'm many years off this yet, but I'm sort of, you know, vaguely approaching the age when, you know, I might start getting warm at odd times. And I just, you know... but I'm just slightly worried that if my ambient temperature changes randomly, I need to tell the tax authorities? Do I need to get a new tax
I worked with a lovely actress who was having experiences, and we were at the microphone doing a live recording, and she sort of went a bit quiet and said, "You're right." She said, "I'm just having a personal summer." But the caravans is confusing as well, because the VAT liability, you don't have it if the caravan is static. So does that mean that if you're stuck in traffic, you can apply for a rebate? I don't know. I don't know how it works.
What I liked is how the MPs are sort of falling them over themselves to be sort of normal people, because we had them all that they all ate pasties, and now they're all saying that they had holidays in static caravans, and Eric Pickles apparently said he had a long stay in one in his youth.
Any caravan he's in is going to always be static.
That's true. Did you see that the guy, the Labour MP asking questions about pasties is called Lord Eatwell? Just pleasing.
It's funny when people's names relate to what they do, because my GP is called Dr. Shepherd.
What are the chances?
I know.
The government has suffered a week of embarrassing U-turns, backtracking on plans to tax Cornish pasties, static caravans, and capping charitable donations. The government has been accused of deliberately announcing the news at a time when it would go unnoticed. Most MPs are on holiday, the press are busy with Syria, and the rest of the country is still laughing about Engelbert Humperdinck. 2 points to Jeremy. Andy, who promised to text the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
This is Jeremy Hunt, and Jeremy Hunt, clearly, he's not very bright. I mean, for decades, countless politicians were able to further their careers by hitching their star to the Murdoch's dark empire. But poor old Jeremy chose to climb aboard just at the moment the Death Star exploded. Which takes a bit of talent. And the second thing that tells you that he's not very bright is the tree incident. What happened was he was at a social function with James Murdoch, I think. He didn't want the embarrassment of being seen socialising with Murdoch, there were some journalists there, so he chose to hide behind a tree. Because as we all know, trees make you invisible. In fact, it, as a tactic, it only ranks just slightly behind covering your eyes and saying to yourself, if I can't see them, they can't see me.
It was extraordinary to watch. My impression was Mr. Hunt was sitting and he looked like a mole that had been dragged out of its hole and stuck in the sunshine. He was kind of sitting, looking quite... And his face didn't move, his eyes just kept moving quite shiftily around. At one point, I thought my television had stopped working because he was sitting so still, but then I saw his eyes move. But it was quite remarkable to watch because he's got... He sent a lot of text messages.
How is it that he's got time to be culture secretary? He seems to do nothing but send text messages. Why don't we just have a teenager as culture secretary? You know?
He's culture secretary in the sense of bacteria, I think. It's been quite a good week because Gove was so strange at Leveson. He just went on and on about how brilliant Murdoch is. And I thought, well, that shows courage, a man who's prepared to say what no one else is thinking. But Blair is getting really good at inquiries. He's just so comfortable in his own skin now because he did Chilcot inquiry, then they had him back because he did so well the first time, and now he's through to the finals of that one. But he's just... Because he used to do that self-deprecating sort of passive-aggressive vulnerability thing. He doesn't do that anymore. He used to do that kind of insecure, vain sort of, does this war make me look fat thing? And he doesn't do it.
It has gone on for so long. There must be a moment when an inquiry tips over into a hostage situation.
That's why I'm starting to really fancy Mr. G. It's the Stockholm syndrome. Them. I've got posters of him on my wall. I light a candle at night. I think he's just so hunky.
He is quite weirdly. He's becoming, I think it is that sort of lowering presence. He's kind of leaning into the microphone. I was actually watching a bit this afternoon thinking, I quite like to hear him reading out my text messages, actually, in sort of accusatory ways. On the 31st of May, Miss Front, you texted, the fennel is looking a bit manky. Will celery do? What did you mean by that? Strangely staring.
Where are all these texts? When you delete your text message, is it like stored somewhere? Is it all the text messages that I've sent saying I'm running a bit late? Are they hidden somewhere?
There's an old lady in Bletchley Park typing them up.
Yes, it's been like Sunday night at the London Palladium this week at the Leveson Inquiry, with star appearances by Tony Blair, Michael Gove, Vince Cable and Jeremy Hunt. During his testimony, Blair complained that the media had waged a vendetta against his wife, Rupert. Sorry, Cherie. On Tuesday, Michael Gove made an appearance after getting the day off from his job as a Gollum lookalike. While Wednesday, both Kenneth Clark and Vince Cable appeared to promote their new album, Ken and Vince Sing Sondheim. Do you know, I have watched so much footage of the Leveson Inquiry. The other day, they started proceedings and I thought, oh, they've painted that back wall. 2 points to Andy. Susan, why won't we be needing an apple a day later this month?
The doctors, and by that I don't mean Doctor Who, the doctors have voted to go on strike for the first time since, I think it's 1975, over pensions. And it means a lot of things. There's a lot of ramifications. Number one, the British public are incredibly bad for self-diagnosing. I'm horrific for it, and it'll be even worse. I went on the internet, because that's how you find out these days, with a paper cut, and I found out I had tuberculosis. True story. So on the 21st of June, you won't necessarily be able to see your GPs or anything like that. And what they haven't done, there's no contingency, you see, for doctors, because they're qualified and they're in their area. And it's quite difficult to say, well, I'll just step in. I'll just do the surgery. I've watched a lot of telly. I think I can do it.
The nightmare scenario is that you go into hospital on the 21st of June in need of an operation and you'll find yourself being cut open by management. Yeah. But I think the doctors don't really know how to go on strike, do they? Because, you know, what will happen is that routine operations are being cancelled. But for genuine political leverage, the thing to do is start the operations and then go on strike.
It's not going to get a lot of sympathy, is it? That's the trouble, because they are quite well paid. But having said that, I mean, the idea of forcing doctors to work until they're 68, that's not a good idea. really, I'm 50, I'm flipping knackered now. And I don't have to make decisions that affect whether people live or die.
No, very elderly doctors can be a problem. When I was a student, I had a very, very elderly doctor. You were allocated a GP. And I went to see him and he was quite posh. And I had a very sore testicle. And what was the problem? I said, I've got this very sore testicle. He said, well, stop playing with it. And I said, well, I wasn't playing with it. It's. He said, do you row? I said, no. He said, take up rowing. Take up rowing.
Oh, I thought you said take it rowing, which is like...
Do you know what?
It was like an outing for a poorly testicle.
I tend to take my testicles everywhere with me. It's a sort of understanding that we have. So, anyway, that was the sum total of my consultation. And then a friend of mine went to see him with a bad knee. He said, go for a run. Go for the longest run you can. And unfortunately, he then had to have a big knee operation because he'd actually done his cartilage. So very elderly doctors can be a problem.
My doctor's striking. She's not protesting, she's just fantastically attractive. Doctors have voted for the first time in 40 years to take industrial action. On the 21st of June, all non-urgent medical procedures and doctor's appointments will be cancelled. The last time doctors went on strike was 40 years ago. This is particularly frustrating for anyone who joined the waiting list for a hip replacement back then, as they are just about getting to the front of the queue. 2 points to Susan. And at the end of round one, the scores are exactly equal. Jeremy and Rebecca have got 4 points, but so too have Andy and Susan. We start round two with a cutting from the Metro.
15 armed policemen burst into a house in Telford after reported sightings of an intruder carrying a weapon, only to find it was the homeowner holding a dildo. Labour said it was a classic cock-up.
And thanks to everyone who sent us that and indeed requested that Charlotte read it. Now, Rebecca, who is down in the dumps about going up in the world?
Oh, right, this will be social mobility.
It is.
Yes, this is Alan Milburn, who is the... I think he is a czar, isn't he?
He's more of a sultan.
He's the social mobility czar.
He is the czar. Yes, I like that. Anyway, he's producing a report into social mobility and his preliminary findings are that there ain't none. It was reported also they were looking into women and how few women get into top jobs, which we all know, and they reckon that 30% of the most influential jobs are currently being done by women. I actually think that we're not really doing anybody any favours here tonight, you see, because there are a lot of women on this panel here, and all we've done so far is make frivolous remarks.
Yeah. But in terms you really are so very glamorous, mate.
I only got this job by putting on a fake beard and pretending to be Andy.
But in terms of social mobility, the one thing that really sort of jumped out at me was that in the report that I read, I think in The Guardian, it said that Milburn's report, when it comes out, will urge teaching hospitals to actively select students with poorer grades to study medicine.
Wow.
I don't think that's really what social mobility is.
No.
Very, very happy to have people from poor backgrounds being my doctor. I'm really not so keen on having the ones who can't pass the exams.
Didn't you get a social mobility scooter? I like the idea of revving your way into a dinner party.
The joy, really, I think, of social mobility is when people from a poorer background go to university and meet very wealthy people. I got a fantastic amount of entertainment value. When I went to Oxford, I took enormous pleasure in mixing with very rich people who had clearly never come across a person who'd actually... Well, never come across a girl, for one thing, and certainly not one who'd been to a comprehensive school. They were quite baffled. I remember actually dancing with this very, very posh boy from a very, very posh school. And at one point, he just suddenly sort of went, and I thought, oh, hello, I've heard about this. And I said, everything all right? And he said, yeah, I was just thinking, wonder what my dad would say. And I said, about what? And he said, me dancing with a Jewess. I mean, you can't buy comedy.
But, I mean, the thing about women is, you know, if there was a woman in charge, because we all know what we're like, you know, we'd get a bit anxious once a month, a little bit of PMT. You know, when your tights kind of roll down and your gussets at your knees and it's very uncomfortable, you're slightly warm, your pants are rolling down your stomach, your tushy clas run out, and you would just declare war on someone. You know, you would just go, I've had enough, I've got a pimple, sod it, let's go into Iraq. Reason, because no one else would do that, would they? No man would ever declare a war illegally on another country. Of course, a woman would do that because she's feeling a little bit fat that day.
But part of the issue, as I understand it, is that they say that the selection processes for careers are too haphazard, OK? So it seems to me that that's, you know, law, medicine, those kind of things. That cannot be true in politics. I mean, the whole point of a democracy is that by its very nature, every 5 years, those wishing for a career must go out there and convince Rupert Murdoch they're the right person for the job. I mean, surely there's a system for these things. Alan Milburn, Nick Clegg's social mobility advisor, has said that professions such as law, journalism and medicine must do more to widen their intake. When appointed by the coalition, his role was described as social mobility czar, a hereditary role passed to the first male-born son. 2 points to Rebecca. Susan, why is a unit of alcohol too much by half?
This is a scientific study. Now, I don't usually comment on scientific studies being not a scientist, but this is a scientific study that I disagree with at its very core. It says that if you drink less, you're healthier. Now, what it's saying is we should cut down our alcohol intake to a maximum of a quarter pint a day. Now, now, what I should say is that that's a quarter pint of beer or lager, not a quarter pint of absinthe, which I had before the show.
What is the point of a quarter pint of beer?
So we go out.
Yeah.
I say, Sandy, let's go out for a drink.
Yeah.
You say, do I have to? I say, it's part of the court order. And I say to the barman, just 2 quarter pints, please. And then we finish them in 30 seconds. We shake hands and gosh, what a great night out that was for everyone. It's a recession. Let us have a drink. So what it's saying, I think, at its core is that we should drink a little bit less and binge drinking, blah, 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 blah. I'm not a binge drinker personally. I just save up my units of alcohol and have them all at once. Like in the old days, when you used to save up tokens to get glasses at a petrol station. That's the equivalent of what I'm just saving up my tokens so that once a week I can have a couple of drinks. Ask you a lot, Sandy.
Do you know what I hate? I hate the way scientists talk about alcohol in units. Units. It makes drinking sound like some Midlands trading estate. It's just hideous.
Units were the little white cubes in Colour Factor at school. Do you remember they used to teach us arithmetic with a big box of little wooden things that you drop and it go all over the floor and you spend the rest of break picking them up? This is a dream I
just
had.
A school.
No, white.
What's wrong with numbers on a board?
We didn't. We couldn't afford a board. It was a state school, Sam.
Oh, sorry.
It was after the war. The boards had all been melted down and turned into Spitfires.
The fundamental rule, though, is, Sandy, if you can carry it in your hand, it's a unit. That's what I always say. If I can carry it in one hand, it's a unit.
So a yard of ale is technically a unit.
A six-pack of beer, that's a unit. 3 litres of vodka, that's a unit.
It is joyless. I mean, you have to have a balance between health. I mean, I did. I went to see a nutritionist once and I did a month without caffeine or alcohol. And it's great, actually. You can just feel those toxins leave your body along with your will to live.
Experts say around 4,600 lives in England could be saved by reducing alcohol intake to just half a unit a day. Half a unit a day is half a glass of wine or a quarter pint of beer or standing 200 metres downwind of a bottle of Buckfast. 2 points to Susan. At the end of round two, the scores remain even. Jeremy and Rebecca have got 9 points, but so too have Andy and Susan. Before we start round three, here is a cutting from the Bournemouth Advertiser.
A woman caught using her mobile phone at the wheel insisted to police that she had in fact been eating Chinese food and didn't have a phone with her. When her phone was then found in the car, she immediately admitted the offence and offered the officer a prawn cracker.
Thanks to Margaret Denslow for sending us that. Jeremy, who knows the answer to an ageing question?
Some scientists have been doing research into body odour. Chemists making judgments on other people's personal hygiene. Physician, heal thyself, is what I would say to them. What they did, they cut up bits of material and got volunteers to put them under their armpits and sleep with them. I mean, there are things to volunteer for, like the St. John's Ambulance or like the lifeboat people or air sea rescue, you know, and they're sleeping with a rag under your arm for a week. And then these rags were cut up and put into jars. And other volunteers with even less hope in their lives volunteered to smell the jars. And they sniffed jars of sweat. And what they found was, interestingly, that old people aren't smelly. The younger you are, the more smelly you are. Babies stink of dairy products and jobbies. Teenagers smell of rampant hormones and dysfunction.
Apparently you can smell all sorts of things. On the whole, men smell worse than women, but that distinction disappears in old age.
I noticed you said on the whole, which was very, very unfortunate. We've got a world to run, you know. We can't spend all day in there with wet wipes. We just got to give it a once over with eyes, Alan. Get out there and lead the pack. Old people used to use tracing paper. I used to, why? You go round to Nan's house, and we always had Andrex, and around at Nan's house, it was grease-proof yeah. paper in the lavatory.
Do you know, we had it at school, that terrible tracing paper, and I used to show my parents what a hideous boarding school I was at. I used to write my airmail letters home on it. They never picked up the hint. A new study suggests that humans can extract signals from body odours, including ones that tell us how old someone is. Participants rated old people as smelling the least, while young people had a much stronger smell, and the samples which were most pungent came from dead people. 2 points to Jeremy. Susan, what's a cause of jubilation this weekend?
It's the Queen's Diamond Jubilee. Well done, ma'am. People are excited.
Yeah, that isn't the answer I was looking for.
Queen...
What else is a cause of jubilation this
weekend? What else
weekend?
Is a cause of jubilation?
Yeah.
What else is a cause of jubilation?
Are you just going to keep repeating it? Or? Anything else happening this weekend that would...
I'm getting married.
Yes! Okay, so because you didn't have a hen party, we thought that we would have it on air. Everybody at home, I need to tell you that the panel are now all wearing pink furry hen party things. We've got a little veil for Susan.
I just really must keep remembering it's happening. People keep saying what you're doing at the weekend. Not a lot.
None of this matters. This is just an irreverent and sideways look at the week's news, which is quite cheeky sometimes and certainly keeps the establishment on their toes. What's more important is you are about to sign away your whole identity forever.
Yeah. So other than the new getting married, what else is going on?
It's Queen's Diamond Jubilee.
We're celebrating. She survived 60 years as monarch in the face of huge competition for
that
job.
Yes, yeah.
I just wonder how it plays in Greece. You know, David Cameron gives out all these lectures at the moment about the need for austerity, you know, like we are in Britain. And they're going to be turned on their TVs and discover that we're having 2 days off, Monday and Tuesday, and on Sunday, at the cost of millions of pounds, probably, we're going to sail loads of boats up the river and have a big party.
The bit that worries me is that the Home Secretary may have been in charge of the calendar, because I looked this up. The Queen came to the throne on the 6th of February 1952, and the coronation was on the 2nd of June 1953. That's only 59 years. Have we got to do it again next year? Are you guys going to parties? Are you going to any?
I want to go and see the river pageant, but as far as I can tell, they've closed every road in London leading up to the river.
I'm going to be on a boat behind Her Majesty.
Are you actually in the flotilla?
I am.
Are you actually officially in it, or are you just like that protester at the boat race?
She's going to be the figurehead on the front of a dinghy, aren't you?
Yeah. This weekend is the Queen's Diamond Jubilee. On Sunday, over 1,000 boats will assemble on the Thames. On Monday evening, 2012, beacons will be lit across the country. Oh, we had that last summer too. Do you remember? It was called the Riots. The Queen will then go to Mansion House, where she buys all her mansions. And finally, the royal family will appear on the balcony of Buckingham Palace singing a medley of songs from Cats. I have no idea. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along, Mr. Hardy.
This is sent in by Prue Brophy, and it's from the Yahoo Finance website. The sex industry has traditionally been considered a non-cyclical activity, or one that becomes more profitable during bad economic times. But times have gotten so rough in Greece that its once booming sex industry is now struggling to make ends meet.
Ms. Front.
This was sent in by Peter Clark, and it comes from the information leaflet enclosed with prescription quinine sulfate tablets. It says, tell your doctor if you notice any of the following side effects: muscle weakness, confusion, loss of consciousness, coma, death.
Mr. Hamilton.
This is from Judith Dakin in Congleton. It's from the Congleton Chronicle, and it says, a headline in a story on page 31 of our Bidulph edition on Thursday incorrectly said, woman grabbed her ex-husband's head and hit it against wall. It should have said, woman grabbed her ex-boyfriend's head and hit it against wall. We apologise for this error.
Ms., soon to be Mrs.
It's from Ivana Cook, and it's an extract from the North Somerset Free Cycle Digest. Locking Scout Group is looking for a band to play for free at the Village Fete on Saturday, 21st July. There will be a bugger and drink for them.
Let's take a look at the final score. Jeremy and Rebecca have got 13 points, but so too have Andy and Susan. Before we leave you, here is a cutting from the Isle of Wight Press sent in by Caroline Smith.
A beacon in Ryde will be lit this weekend as part of nationwide celebrations for the Queen's Jubilee. Local scouts and girl guides will be part of the torch being set alight.
And with that, goodbye.